You might not, that leader in your home, on the job, in the church, might be the most selfish, ignorant, stupid, knucklehead person you ever been around. But while you can't and may not have much confidence in the leadership over you, you can know that God is still sovereign.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel, till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
So, are you ready for tomorrow?
I suppose you're talking about Professor Ford's midterm.
I know I'll be burning the midnight oil preparing for it. His tests are brutal.
Well, there will be no midnight oil burning for me. My cousin took his course last semester, and he's been coaching me. I think I got this.
Well, good for you.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Preparing for a test in school is no game, and neither is preparing for the many tests that God allows in our lives. And prepared or not, they're definitely coming.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 11 as we continue to look at this book, and we're moving at a lightning pace, so strap your seatbelts on, and I hope you'll keep up with me. And what we want to do is actually skim through this chapter, and I want to pull out, we could actually spend, I saw about three different angles that I could take on this chapter and to go through this story. There's so much here, but we're not going to do that. I'm going to leave some of that to your own personal study. As you familiarize yourself with this story. But if you remember, there is this invasion by the Ammonites, and they come and they take over the city of Nabesh Gilead and surround them and make this proposition to them for a covenant to be made with the king. And so Israel is now considering in this chapter entering into this covenant with the Ammonites. And that's what I want us to think about, all that God has done for them and the proposition that's before them. And it became a test for the nation of Israel, and it's not unlike many of the tests that you and I have today. So let's pray and ask for God's help as we consider the Word of God today. Heavenly Father, again, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, cause even this simple moment in history to come alive to our hearts, that it would give us application that we can apply to our own individual lives even today. And we'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Dan Ehrle was an economics professor at MIT, and he decided to run a little experiment. And so he broke up students into different groups and gave them a test. And he wasn't that much interested in finding out about how much knowledge they had, but he was interested to find out who was going to cheat and what factors played into whether or not they would cheat. And the way it turned out was that the only group that didn't cheat was the group that was asked to write out as many of the Ten Commandments as they could remember. And just the recollection of the various Ten Commandments, I guess, was enough of a hindrance and a conviction to stop that group from cheating. And it reminds me, as I think about that experiment, that, you know what, there are some things that we need to do to prepare for the tests that we all go through. All of us have tests in our lives. All of us go through situations where God is dealing with us in one area or another, and we need to prepare ourselves for those tests. It's oftentimes at unexpected moments they seem to come. And the Israelites were tested just like we get tested. They were tested back then as the Ammonites surrounded them and took over one of their cities. And so I want to leave with you this one point, and that is that passing God's test requires preparation. It requires that we do a few things ahead of time. And I've shared with you before that, you know, I used to play second base. One of the things I learned about playing the infield at second base was in my youth, was that before the ball gets hit to you, you have to stop and take an appraisal of what the situation is, who's on first, who's on second, how many outs are there. You have to understand the situation because you need to know what you're going to do when the ball and if the ball gets hit to you before the ball is actually hit to you. You have to think through the situation ahead of time. You can't wait until the ball gets hit to you and stand up and look around and see who's running around the base. It takes preparation to know ahead of time what you're going to do. And in very much the same way as we walk through the Christian life, it takes some prior preparation, some prior thinking through some things before the test in order for us to pass the test. And so the first thing I want you to notice is right there in verse 1, that passing the test requires knowing when the test starts. The king of the Ammonites surrounded this city of Jabesh-Gilead and threatened them, and their surrounding a city in Israel was the start of this test. There are always tests in our lives, tests of our faith. We get tested by our financial situations. We get tested by relationships that we have that go sour. We get tested with moments of anger that crop up in our spirits. We get tested when you leave the doctor, as you walk out with that bad news from the doctor. That's a test. We get tested sometimes when we are, you know, presented with temptations in our walk through the life that we have. All these ways that we get tested, and we need to know when it is we're entering a test. I think part of the problem for many believers is that they walk into a test and they don't even realize that their faith is being tested. That this is a moment that's going to require them to trust God, and they need to prepare themselves to do the right thing. And so the first thing is knowing when the test starts. You know, I don't know if you've ever taken an SAT or one of those tests that, you know, you have a time frame and you can only be there but for so long. And the idea is to get as much done as you can within that time frame. Well, if you go in and the bell rings for you to start and you're not ready to start, then, you know, you're going to miss out on a lot of the opportunity that you have, a lot of the window of time that's open to you. And so I guess what I'm saying is we need to be ready to start when the bell rings. We need to know when it is that we're entering into a test. When that person jumps in front of your face and disrespects you, guess what? The bell just rang. That's a test. When that person does the wrong thing and is unfair in some way, or when the boss asks you to do something that you know is not right, guess what? The bell just rang. And in so many areas of our lives, we need to recognize when it is we're entering into a test. And so many times we fail right at that point because before we even know we're in the test, we've already failed the test and we've already done and reacted in the wrong way. Now, you remember Tony Hart's definition of a test, right? No, so I'll tell you. Tony Hart's definition of a test is that Y in the road. Anybody remember that? It's that moment when you come to a Y in the road, and one way is the way that looks like the blessings and enjoyment and happiness is following that road. And the other way, the other road is the road that God tells you to travel on. And when those are divergent paths, when those are two different directions, and what seems to you to be the road to happiness and prosperity is this way, and God says, no, I want you to go that way, you stand at that Y in the road, that's a test. The bell just rang. And all of us, as we walk through our lives, we all face those Ys in the road. We all face those critical moments of choice. We all have to recognize when the test is starting in our lives. And so the first point of preparation is just recognizing when you come to those times in your life that your faith is being tested. But there's something else that I want you to see at the end of verse 1, and that is that passing the test requires standing on principle without compromise. You have to know what you believe, and you have to stand on it without compromise. Their response was not to turn to the king that God just gave them, but their response was to consider compromise as a good solution. And so when you read the end of verse 11, it says, the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, he said, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. That's the people's response back to him. Make a covenant with us and we will serve you. Then the king in verse 2 of the Ammonites answered them, on this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all of Israel. Now we're going to get to that in a minute, but I want you to notice that here they are presented with this dilemma. They walked right into a test. Their city was being surrounded by the Ammonites. And what's their first reaction is not to say, we are the people of God. It's not to recall the covenant that God made with them. It's not to remember that we are God's people and he is our God, but it's rather their reaction is, well, king, let's talk. Let's make a covenant. We can compromise. There's room here for negotiation. And I don't want to skip over this too lightly, because Monco, every last one of us are tempted at times to compromise what we know is true. Pastor Sam said last week to the 11:30 service that the 8 o'clock service was a little more reacting, and the 11:30 service was quiet. And I don't know, maybe this week will be reversed. But don't look at me like I'm crazy. The truth is that we all are tempted to compromise. Amen. Thank you. And the reality is that we need to learn to stand on principle. There need to be some things that are true and true all the time. Some things that are just non-negotiable. And one of those things for the nation of Israel back then was they needed to remember that they were the people of God. They had a covenant with God Almighty. And there's no king on earth. There's no power on earth that we should be compromising with, that we should be negotiating with to water down our agreement and our covenant with God Almighty. You know, it's easy to say I have faith in God. It's easy to come to church and sing all the right hymns. It's easy to say glory to God in the highest. But when we walk out these doors on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and all the issues of life come our way and we walk into those tests of our faith that are waiting for all of us, how many times do we end up pandering, negotiating, you know, compromising? And if we're going to pass the test, we have to stand on principle without compromise. You remember the story of Esther, right? There are actually two things in that story in that book that are worth us taking note of right here. First of all, if you remember the story, there's Queen Vashti, who was the queen of Persia. And when you read the story right there in chapter 1, you remember the story of Vashti. The king is throwing this big party. He wants the queen to come out and parade herself in front of all these dignitaries and show off how, you know, pretty she is. And she wasn't about to compromise the respect that she had for herself to go parade in front of all these dignitaries. And so what did she do? She stood up to the king and she said, no, I will not. And she risked not only her life, but she ended up getting thrown out of the palace and was no longer the queen. So then the king goes out and calls Esther. He has this contest, you know, Persian idol, and gets this contest to see who's going to be the next queen. And Esther wins the contest, and now she's the queen. And again, Esther stands on principle. And when she finds out what's being planned against her people, at the risk of her life, she goes and confronts the king and asks for a solution. That is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing whose you are, knowing and having respect for yourself, standing on principle, even at the risk of your own life. Somebody once said, if you don't have something to die for, then you're really not ready to live. Do we have principles that we're ready to die for? Do we have a relationship with God that we're ready to die for? Are there some things that we are just not going to compromise? And if we're going to pass the test of our faith as we walk through life, we're going to have to prepare to stand on principle without compromise. How many times have we considered compromise rather than following the King of Kings? We compromise our evangelism every time we shut our mouths because we're scared. We compromise so many things, our giving. We compromise our Bible reading time. We compromise our service to others. We compromise our attendance with God and with the people of God. We compromise our integrity. We compromise our language. You know, I heard, in fact, just the other day, you ever hear these Christians, they don't want to curse. So it's like, you know, dang, gang it, you know, gone dog it, and all kinds of ways that we try and, it's compromise. And we're trying to skirt around the issues, and we're compromising rather than just being clear and direct, praising God with our mouths and with our language. Now, if I just stepped on your toe, I didn't mean it, to step on your toe, that is. I meant what I said, but I didn't mean to step on your toe. But we need to be careful in our language, in our actions, how we conduct ourselves, that we don't compromise just to try and fit in, just to try and be accepted by everybody else. There got to be some things that we stand up for and we're counted as the people of God. Our response during those times of testing need to be to follow the king without compromise. So we got to know when the bell rings. We got to know when the test starts. And secondly, we need to stand on principle without compromise. But I also want you to see that passing the test requires not relying solely on human resources. Not relying solely on human resources. Take a look at verse 5. He says, now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field. And Saul said, what troubles the people that they weep? And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh, that you know, they were surrounded and that they needed some help. Now, here's what I want you to see. King Saul did not engender much confidence. He apparently went back to his farm, and he apparently was spending time with the herd back on his father's farm. He didn't seem very ready for this new appointment as king. As a matter of fact, it seems as though his time would have been better spent rather than going back to the farm. Once he knew he was going to be king, why didn't he go do an internship or something with a neighboring kingship? Go into a palace and learn how the palace runs. Why didn't he get into some be a king training program or something? You know, see, I read up on it or do something to prepare himself a little bit for what was in front of him. But no, he didn't do that. He went back and he worked the farm and he didn't seem to know what was going on in the country. Now, you would think if he was going to be king that he would have stayed up on current events. as a king, he needed to know what was going on. Imagine that here is a city in Israel surrounded by a foreign king, and here's the king, you know, driving a herd on the farm, and he didn't know what was going on. That does not engender a lot of confidence. The people in Israel probably had good reason that they didn't have much confidence in Saul. But you know, we need to make sure that our confidence is not solely in human resources. He also seemed to be out of touch. Unlike, you know, the president of the United States sits down every day with advisors. And, you know, they get a briefing on what's going on and what's happening. They come and have this meeting every day. And so whether you think he's doing the right thing or the wrong thing in the White House, the fact is we can all agree that the president probably knows more about what's going on than any of us just reading our newspaper. And so that's the confidence that we have in a president, like in a major country. Well, they couldn't even have that kind of confidence in Saul, because Saul didn't even know what was going on. How were they going to place their faith and trust and confidence in this new king that they had? But what we need to remember is that while it might be understandable not having confidence in Saul, God had not abandoned his people. God had not left them, and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And what I want to tell you is that you might not have a lot of confidence in that leadership that's over you, but you can have confidence in God. Somebody needs to say amen. You might not, that leader in your home, on the job, in the church, might be the most selfish, ignorant, stupid, knucklehead person you ever been around. But while you can't and may not have much confidence in the leadership over you, you can know that God is still sovereign, that God still sits high and he looks low. He knows what's going on and he's got your back.
Dr. Hart will return for the closing of today's teaching in just a moment. The various ministries of the DOGF can only continue with the faithful support of the Lord's people. For your donation of any amount, we'd like to say thank you with a special gift, the book Why Children Are Important by Johann Christoph Arnold. It would make a great Father's Day gift. Additionally, if you register to support us monthly, we will send you a beautiful golf shirt monogrammed with our DOGF logo. We'll give you all of our contact information at the close of today's teaching. Once again, here's Dr. Hart.
So in the same way that we tell our children, obey your parents, as long as they're not contradicting the word of God, your parents may be the, you know, you ask a teenager, they'll tell you, your parents are the most outdated, ignorant, stupid people on the planet. But we tell them that even though your parents are knuckleheads, you obey them unless they tell you to do something that's contrary to the word of God. And just know that, guess what? God has your back. God is there and he sees, he'll take care of you. And in the same way that we give that message to our children, sometimes we forget the message ourselves. And we need to remember that God has our back. And that knucklehead that's at home, that leader in the home, that boss on the job, that authority that's placed over us in our country, whatever that leadership might be that we find ourselves under, our confidence is not solely in man. Our confidence is in God. And we need to remember that. It gives us faith to move on and to walk on with God. And so while Saul didn't engender a whole lot of confidence, the people needed to remember that God was still in charge. You know, Hosea, chapter 1, and the Lord told the prophet to marry a harlot in order to demonstrate his faithfulness to an unfaithful people and to show what that looks like. And what that looked like for Hosea was that no matter what his wife did, he was going to remain faithful. And that's what it looked like for Hosea. That's what our relationship with God looks like, because we're the ones that run after idols. We're the ones that are unfaithful to God. We're the ones that go astray so easily, and yet God remains faithful. Has God blessed anybody here in spite of themselves? Has God been good to you in spite of yourself? And I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know that God is a faithful God, that he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will continue to bless us in spite of ourselves. He might have to pull his belt off every now and again, and he might have to correct us, but that's done in love because he wants to straighten us out. And he's a faithful God. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so we can be encouraged that we're not stuck on relying on human resources. You might not have all the money you think you need. You might not have all the good health you think you need. You might not have all the things that in life that you think you desire. But you can, if you have God, you have more than enough. If you have him on your side, you have all that you need. And so I'm glad today that God is still faithful. And we can trust him.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's program, and we thank you for listening. Your partnership with this ministry is appreciated and greatly needed to help us with our mission to plant churches, prepare leaders, and to proclaim the gospel. Please let us know that you will stand with us. Remember to ask for the thank you gift as you make your donation, and let us know how we can pray for you. You can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King reminding you that the measure of God's love is that he loves without measure.